worship the Lord. Amen. Let's honor him tonight.
Turn to page 50 in the Sweet Forever. What a happy time, some sweet morning, when we lay these heavy burdens down in the slopes of Bell. No more to roam, having labored on through joy and sorrow, hoping to receive a golden crown. It'll all be joy in that sweet home. Beautiful city, some happy day, where the river of life goes every by. Look upon the beauty, fades not away, and happy we'll be while the ages fly. Beautiful city, some happy day, where the river of life goes ebbing by. Look upon the beauty, fades not away, and happy we'll be while the ages fly. Nevermore my soul will be repining when we reach that happy place in this lonesome vale. No more to roam yonder where the sun is always shining. We shall look upon his shining face. It'll all be joy in that sweet home. Beautiful city, some happy day, where the river of life goes ebbing by. Look upon the beauty, fades not away, and happy we'll be while the ages fly. In the beautiful city, some happy day, where the river of life goes ebbing by. Look upon the beauty, fades not away, and happy we'll be while the ages fly. Many precious loved ones will be waiting just across the river deep and wide in this lonesome vale. It'll all be joy in that sweet home. In the beautiful city, some happy day, where the river of life goes ebbing by. We'll look upon the beauty, fades not away, and happy we'll be while the ages fly. Some happy day, where the river of life goes ebbing by. Look upon the beauty, fades not away, and happy we'll be while the ages fly. Many precious loved ones will be waiting just across the river deep and wide in this lonesome vale. No more to roam through eternity, no separating. Every heart will then be satisfied. It'll all be joy in that sweet home. In the beautiful city, some happy day, where the river of life goes ebbing by. Look upon the beauty, fades not away, and happy we'll be while the ages fly.
was up here praying before church, and I just had this thought, and it may not mean anything to you, but it means something to me. I was praying. I said, what an awesome opportunity we have as the people of God. By just a simple act of worship, we can usher in the very God of heaven. That resonated with me. That might not mean anything to you, but just that simple act of worship ushers in the God of heaven. And I don't want to be slack with that. If I have that opportunity, I want to take that opportunity. I want to glory in that opportunity. Page 180. Everybody will be happy over there.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the sacred earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there.
Yes, everybody will be happy over there, over there. There will be happy over there. And we will shout and sing praises to the never-ending ages.
Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there.
Yes, everybody will be happy over there.
Everybody will be happy over there. We will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there.
Yes, everybody will be happy over there.
Will be
over
happy.
There.
Will be happy over there.
And we will shout and sing praises to the
name. Sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there.
Yes, everybody will be happy over there.
Will be happy. Will be happy over there.
And we will shout and sing praises to the name.
Everybody will be happy over there. There will be the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there.
Yes, everybody will be happy over there. Over there. Sing praises to the
never-ending ages. Everybody will be happy over there. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved on earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there.
Yes,
everybody
over there. Will be over there.
Happy.
Shout and sing his praises to the never ending ages.
Everybody will be happy over there. We will hear nobody praying and no warning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. And all the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there.
Yes,
everybody
will be happy over there.
Will be
shout and sing praises to the never ending ages.
Everybody will be happy over there. There will be the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. There we'll praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there.
Yes, everybody will be happy over there. Over there.
Over there.
And we will shout and sing. sing praise to the name.
Sing God's praises, everybody will be happy over there.
Yes, everybody will be happy over there.
We'll be happy, we'll be happy over there.
And we'll shout and sing praise to the name.
Amen. Amen. Let's worship with her tonight.
Had this song in my heart last several weeks. One thing I've always heard Sister Prescott say is God will never take you to something if you didn't plan to take you through it. And I'm so thankful God is able to keep us and bring us through whatever it may be that we're going through. I've questioned certain circumstances, things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration is so out of hand. But it's been I am reminded never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all the victories, I'm reminded of what God's done for me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised the cross would not get heavy. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision.
promises, the things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all the victories, I'm reminded of what God's done for me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised the cross would not get heavy, or the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary till the flames again, again. He never promised the cross would not get heavy, or the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without.
Amen. How many knows God is faithful? Amen. Brother Luke, testify tonight. Praise the Lord. Sister Robin, come on tonight, and Brooklyn and Rebecca are going to sing. Amen. As they're coming, Brother W.L. Kersey, testify for the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone else got a good word for the Lord? Magnify his name tonight. Amen. All right. Amen. Come on, Sister Strider. Amen. Maybe someone else wants to be prayed for this evening. Amen. I know the Lord's able. Would you stand with us, church? Amen. Some of you sisters, come help me tonight. Pray for Sister Strider. Amen. How many knows the Lord is a prayer-answering God? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Really hoping to get out of this, but we practiced just a little bit before church, so we're going to just practice on y'all.
He asked Jupiter for a pillow, an angel choir for a lullaby. But on his list of He's a busy God, but on his list of things to do, his number one priority is watching me and you. He's taking care of business, feeding birds and making rain. But he'll stop what he's doing when I speak his name. 'Cause he's watching me.
Tonight. Amen. I'm glad we can speak his name. Amen. Shout that name Jesus tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Shout it like you're glad you're in his presence. Ah, hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Turn with me tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 16, verse number 18. Amen. One verse of scripture tonight. Amen. Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. God bless your faithfulness to his house. Proverbs, chapter number 16, and verse number 18. When you get there, shout amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 18. Scripture says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Amen. God bless you as you're seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. Amen. The other night, Monday, I believe it was, Beth and I drove over to the Broxton camp meeting and had service there and enjoyed the time and seeing different preachers and fellowshipping. And so we were on our way back. And so I don't know how the conversation wound up going the direction that it did, but when it's late and you're trying to stay awake, who knows what you talk about. But somewhere along the line, she said something to the effect of, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. And I said, what in the world? I've never heard that before. What is that? And so she started saying it again. Run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. And I thought she was making it up, but lo and behold, I've been deprived my whole life that there was a children's story about the gingerbread man. So obviously some of you probably know the story of the gingerbread man. So I don't know where I grew up or what rock I crawled out from under, but the gingerbread man. How many? Slowly admitting. It's all right. Closet fairy tale readers, that's okay. How many have never heard about the gingerbread man? Welcome to my world. Amen. I'm not going to recite the whole story for you, but I do want to preach tonight to you about the gospel and the gingerbread man. But the story, for those of you that are a little late to the program, the idea was that there was an old man and old woman who were making cookies, gingerbread cookies, and the old lady decides that she's going to shape one of the cookies into a figure of a little man, and so she makes a gingerbread man. The little gingerbread cookie who becomes a man jumps out of the pan and decides that he's so fast he runs right out of the house as the two older people try to catch up to the gingerbread man. They can't catch him, and so that's when he says, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. I won't go through all the farm animals that he encounters, but there's a horse and a pig and there's other ones. But he constantly says, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. Until he comes to the waters. The waters are raging. The waters are high. And understanding that he can't get wet, but he needs to cross the water because all of those animals that he has outrun, he is now pinned up against. But lo and behold, a sly old fox just happens to show up at an opportune time and offers him a free escort across the water. He starts out on his tail, but because the waters are coming up, he decides to move the gingerbread man to the nose of the fox. And on the other side of the water, there's a sad, sad ending to that story because there's no more gingerbread man. So I don't know why we tell kids stories like that, because that leaves them on a downer, but nonetheless, I guess that's life. Amen. But I'm going to preach tonight about five things that I thought about the gingerbread man and how the gospel could be preached from the story of the gingerbread man. Notice, first of all, the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction, and probably that is the sentiment. That's the story of the gingerbread man. But notice, first of all, that there was an old man and an old woman who were making cookies and shaped one into the form of a man, and he obviously, metaphorically, came alive. But there was someone that designed the gingerbread man. There was a creator. There was an origination in somebody's mind and said, we're going to create a gingerbread man. Maybe this is more relevant to young people tonight, or maybe the old people, because when you get old, you're more like children than maybe most of the time in your life. But we understand tonight that we are created by God. We are created by God. Young folks, you hear me tonight. There is a divine creator over your life. The world wants to make us sound as if we just kind of haplessly evolved. And if you want to believe that, you know, a tadpole that became something, that became a monkey and an ape, and you've evolved throughout life, and if that's the story you want to believe, then there's a lot of people that'll sell you that theory. But for me, amen, I know that there is a hand of God that created every one of us. And so tonight we understand that because there is a God that created us, we are not an afterthought, we are not a mistake. We are not inferior to any other one, but we understand that we are created in the image of God. Amen. When we read those first few pages of Genesis, and the Bible says that God said, let us make man in our image. What a privilege that is tonight, that you and I, that obviously I think he's talking, you know, the triunity of man, the tricotomy of man, the spirit, soul, and body, made in the image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But nonetheless, young people, understand tonight that it is not just a mistake that you've wound up in 2017 as a young person living in the United States of America. It's not just an afterthought or happen chance or something of that nature that you find yourself in this church, in the body of Christ, but there is a divine, divine creator. There is an originator with you in mind. That's what Jeremiah had in mind when God spoke to Jeremiah and said, even before you were in the belly of your mother, I knew you. I formed you. That is God's plan. Can I tell you tonight, friend, all of us have great value. All of us have great value because we're designed in the image of God. We know Satan wants to injure that and destroy the image of God, but how many glad tonight to know that we are made in the image of our heavenly, heavenly Father, that there is a creator to all things, that this world that we see and the way that it operates, it's not by happen chance and it's not by circumstance, and there is a higher power, but we know that he is the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac. Our God is the one, as Hebrews says, that upholds all things with the word of his power. I'm glad for that tonight. But young folks, understand, first of all, there is an originator. There is a creator. There's a divine design to your life. And that is critical because in our culture, that is discredited. It's discounted. Sometimes it's not even allowed. But there is a creator to your life. Not just your parents, but there's a heavenly Father that breathed, just like he breathed into Adam, and just like he breathed into Eve, God breathed into your life. And so our responsibility is to find out what the image of God needs to be in our life. What does God want out of your life? The other day I was arguing with a backslider, because the only way that I can get them to talk to me is to irritate them and agitate them. And so I was agitating them and irritating them, and they said, why do I think that you have my best interest at heart? I said, it really don't even matter if I have your best interest at heart or not. It really has everything to do with God's interest in your life. It's not what I want out of your life. It's not even what you want out of your life. But really, life is about the idea of what does God want out of my life? What is the image of God? What's the plan of God? Amen. Parents, I pray that you're teaching your children. Amen. They need to be finding the will of God for their life. What is God's plan for my life? What is God's will for my life? Not just to have a house and make some money and put a few initials behind your name. There's much more to life than that. And that, my friend, is finding the will of God. There is a divine creator. There's a divine design to your life. But number two, the story of the gingerbread man teaches us this, that gingerbread man rebelled against his creator.
He rebelled against those that designed him, and he runs out of the house. Does that not coincide with Scripture? Does that not show us in Scripture what man did? Man rebelled against God. Man decided that he did not want the imprint and the plan of God in his life, and so man rebelled against God, and man started running away from God, just like the gingerbread man. We would never say, run, run as fast as you can. I'm the gingerbread man. But no, we say, well, I don't really want that in my life, God, or I really don't want to give this up in my life. And so a lot of people are running away from God. And when they're running away from God, they are running away from their designer. Think about it. Man in our culture is running away from the design of sexuality. They're running away from the design of male and female. But our culture is running away from that because they can say, well, if you're a man, but you can decide to be a woman if you want to. What is that? That is Satan's attempt for man to run away from God. Matter of fact, you don't even have to be a male or a female. You can be, Facebook says, over 200 things. There are 200 classifications according to them. It's man running away from God. Or like that parent recently that had a child in Canada, the first genderless birth certificate that was issued in the history of planet Earth. A genderless baby. There is no such thing, my friend. No such thing. But it is man running away from God, the design of God. It's not freedom, but it's bondage. It's bondage by Satan. Amen. But man running from God, just like Jonah, when we see something we don't like, we're going to get on a ship and we go the other way. Like I preached Sunday morning, when somebody finds something in the Bible they don't like, you know what they do? They just kind of turn the page real quick. They just kind of skip over that. But can I tell you, God put some hard stuff in His Word. He talked to us husbands about how we should love our wives so much we're willing to give ourselves. Come on, it's going to get tight right here for the next couple of minutes. Amen. There's some guys that won't even give their wife $20, $50, or $100 to do what they need to do for their house. But yet the Scripture said you ought to lay down your life for her. If you're willing to give up your life, you sure ought to give them your pocketbook. You sure ought to give them your paycheck. Come on, somebody. Amen. I've been counseling some of these young folks. You don't get your paycheck, her paycheck, your checking account, her checking account. That's not the way the Scripture records it. Hear me, young folks. Get this in your mind right now. As a man of God, you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account of what God gave in your life and your family. You better be a good steward. Amen. You better be a good steward of everything God gave into your life. But there's some guys to say, well, she's got a job, she can just do it on her own, she don't even need me. I don't read that in the book. I read in the book that two flesh shall become one. They shall become one twain. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen right there, because this world is making it easy for divorce. This world is making it easy to break things up. But when you really combine yourself, when there is that really coming together, when there is that really extinguishing of our separate lives, and we're coming as one. Amen. Friend, you cannot destroy what God has put together. But I would to God tonight, you and I wouldn't run from the plan of God. We wouldn't run. I lost some of you, right? I lost some of you over 50 right there, because I know the way you do your business. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, friend, God's word is clear. God's got a picture. And so hear me, young folks, tonight, don't run. Don't even run from the will of God. But run to this altar and say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Let me talk to you about the third thing, and that's that gingerbread man becomes so, so prideful. He becomes so arrogant as he looks at all of those animals and he says those words, as I've already probably recounted too many times tonight, run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. But how many times do I watch men get so prideful, men get so arrogant, men get so lifted up in their own selves, angels. But friend, we are absolutely nothing. If God removed his grace from our lives, we'd be in hell tonight. If God didn't even give me breath to breathe, we're so poor we can't even buy the breath we need to live. But oh, look at us. I said saved, amen, washed in the blood of Jesus, on our way to heaven. Amen. Brother Josh said it, when we come in the presence of God, we ought to come with thanksgiving. We ought to come with just a praise on our lips, because if it had not been for the Lord, if it had not been for the God who saved us, all of us would be lost tonight. Amen. Some of you come to God with addictions. You come with hatred and bitterness and envy, and your life was empty and miserable. But look, tonight we have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. I said, thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God that he brought us out of darkness and into the marvelous light. I said, I didn't have anything to offer God. I had no money. But I'm glad the prophet said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Yea, without money, come and buy. Oh, hallelujah. How many know tonight by faith we came to the altar? We didn't have anything but sin and transgression and addiction. But God took it out of our life. And God put in joy. And God put in peace. And God put in redemption. And God put in salvation. And God put in the love of God. He put in eternal life. Amen. I don't have an opportunity to get grateful. I bow before him tonight and said, oh, what a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. But hear me tonight, if you don't yield to the plan of God, you're coming, my friend, to the waters. You will come to those waters that you cannot cross by yourself. And the devil, hear me, young folks, in the story, the parable is told, that fox shows up at an opportune time. That fox shows up to manipulate and take advantage of the circumstance. And how many times when young folks come to a critical point in their life, and they come to the waters that they seem to be overwhelmed by, maybe the waters of insecurity. There's a lot of insecurity in the world in which with so much pressure from the culture, that if you don't look like just a certain way, there's something wrong with you. There's something, not just teenagers, there's middle-aged folks that have problems with that. If you're not a what? Size zero, if you're not a size two, if you don't live in this zip code, if you don't drive, talking to women, not men. So if you're not driving a certain car, if you're 32, not 42, for the men. So if you're not driving a certain car, you didn't go to a certain school, or you don't have a certain status, or there's so much pressure that insecurity is laid upon the young folks. And so here comes the sly old fox. Here comes that devil. He'll put somebody on the job. He'll put somebody in the school that'll start bragging on you, start manipulating you. The devil will work in such a way you say, man, I'm so insecure. But let me tell you, your insecurity or security, it never comes from what we do have or don't have. It doesn't come from what size we are or what size we are not. It doesn't come from our last name. It doesn't come from anything in life, except the fact is this, that God so loved the world. God loved you in your unregenerated state. God loved us in our fallen state. God loved us when we were steeped in sin. Your value, friend, is not in it. Our life consisteth not in the abundance of things. Amen. But our security is in the image of God. That is your security. That is in you, is your contentment right there, knowing that the hand of God made you, that the hand of God formed you. That the reason you're 5'10 instead of 6'2, that the reason you're a size 12 instead of a size 4, the reason you got red hair instead of brown hair and blue eyes instead of brown eyes, is that God designed you just like you are. And so your comfort and security comes in not trying to compare yourself to somebody else. You don't have to have the clothes they wear. You don't have to have have the money they have, but knowing that God made you just like you are, you ought to square your shoulders back and look the devil in the face and say, I don't need anything the devil's got to offer. I don't need any of the devil's tricks, but I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. That greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Those waters of peer pressure, amen, that you don't have to blend in. You don't have to just try to go to the mall and take a tuck head. Amen. Help me, Holy Ghost, and say it right. Amen. You don't have to try to blend in this world. You ought to march in there and know I'm a child of the King. I'm part of the church of the living God. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not on my way to hell. My name's in the book of life. I'm not saying prideful in the sense of ourselves, but we don't have to be beat down and discouraged and ashamed and intimidated by the devil. The devil is a liar, and the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Be proud of Jesus in your life. Be a light in this world. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when you face those waters, well, I don't want to stand out. I get made fun of. Hear me, young folks. If you don't do everything the world says, they'll make fun of you. You think about some of the hairstyles. You think about some of the things you see in the world that is, it looks painful. It looks like body mutilation. That does not entice me at all. But you're a child of God. You're a child of God. Matter of fact, Beth and I, let me read it. We were stopped the other, we got a beautiful city downtown. Some of you need to take advantage of it. You don't need to go 14 hours away. You just need to go downtown Savannah. We were downtown eating the other day. There was a couple cops in there, and I started talking to them, told them I appreciated their service to the community, things of that nature, where I pastored. And one of them had a tattoo on his arm, and it says, I looked it up, it says, for he is the minister of God to these for good. Think about it. This is a cop that had this tattooed on his arm. He is the minister of God to these for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Hallelujah. I don't think that's why God put that in the Bible. You don't need that tattooed on your Bible. Leviticus told us not to mark up the body. I know that's popular in our world. There's going to be some folks that get saved that have tattoos that can't get rid of them. But hear me, young folks. God's will is not for you to tattoo up the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are a temple. I said you are a temple of the Holy Ghost. That is God's will. God said he will beautify the meek with salvation. Amen. God wants us to be a light in this world. Hallelujah. And so when you see young folks doing things because they're intimidated by the world, when fads change in the world, but then they change in the church, that bothers me. Because it lets me know we've got our eyes on the world and not our eyes on Scripture, on the things of God. And I know fads come and fads go and things of that nature. But I tell you this, all those short skirts do bother me. And I know a lot of times when we preach about holiness, we preach about men. Well, I just preach tattoos and I preach against beards. And I preach against goatees, so I get the men too. And so I'll throw the jewelry out of the men, because you see as much men with jewelry in their body as a woman nowadays. But I'll tell you this, Beth and I were in a place recently, and it was a holiness meeting, so-called. And I appreciate that she is willing to counsel the young ladies and how they should be modest, not just in skirt length, but I'll tell about what's going on around the necklines. I know she gets tired of that. I know she gets weary, and some of you act like she's, help me, Jesus. Amen. She could tell you every servant, and it seemed like that's not enough. Amen. That's not enough. But I still believe that modesty is found in the Word of God. And when somebody starts wanting to show off their body and live immodestly and dress immodestly, whether it's a guy or a gal, I know that our eyes are on the world. Amen. Hear me. young folks tonight, there's nothing wrong with being a holiness young person. You don't have to be intimidated by the world. You don't have to try to have, help me, Holy Ghost. You don't need one dress style for the job and another one for church. You don't need one dress style for school and another one for church. If your skirt is too short at school, you need to get a different wardrobe. Amen. But what's good for the platform, it's good all week long. How do you know Jesus isn't coming on Monday? How do you know Jesus isn't coming on Tuesday? We better be living right on Tuesday at noon. We better be living right Thursday evening. We better be living right all the time, for Jesus is coming. And we ought not do stuff just to get on the platform, but it ought to be in our heart. I said it ought to be in our heart as a child of God. Hallelujah. And so if every picture you always snap is a provocative pose, it lets me know your heart is far, far from God. So let me just warn everybody right here, because social media is a public platform, that if you're putting things out publicly, I feel I have the right to chastise you publicly. I don't need you amen right there, but I'm going to preach it anyway. That if you're using the name of our church and the name of God in the name of Scripture, and you put stuff out there that is contrary to what we teach, and you do it in a public forum, and there are those that have come to you privately to counsel you, but you reject that, I feel I have the right, yea, I feel I have the obligation to deal with it publicly. Preach it, Pastor. Thank you. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, be warned. I like that scripture in Acts. What was that? Romans 13, 14. I am the minister of God. For he is the minister of God to those that are good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath. The gospel in the gingerbread man. That old fox comes along at the right time to give you opportunity. I'll get you across the waters of pleasure. I'll get you across the waters of peer pressure. I'll get you across the waters of insecurity. I'll get you over there. But how many knows the end of the story for the gingerbread man was not good? The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life. Have it more abundantly. Young folks, I'm telling you, can put your trust in Jesus. Hear me tonight as I close this out in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. In verse number 13, Jesus said, according to his word, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 13, that there is no temptation taken you that is such as common to man, but God will make a way of escape. That when you come to those waters that seem overwhelmed, put your trust in Jesus. I said, put your trust in Jesus. How many know you can witness that God's been faithful? Has God took you through some tough times? Has God took you through some lonely times? Amen. Oh, tonight I say, God, I want your will to be done in my life. I want to be a holiness person. I want to be right in my spirit. I want to be right in my heart. I want to be right in my mind. I want to be right in my talk. I want to be right in my steps. I want to be right. I'm on guard for the fox. The devil is a sly old fox. I'd like to catch him and put him in a box, lock the door, and throw away the key. Oh, for he's played many, many tricks on me. But the devil's not going to be locked up. But I know one tonight that gives you power. Amen. See if there's a Bible reader tonight that says, for greater is he that is in you. Amen. Shout it with me tonight. I said, for greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You believe it? Give God some praise tonight. I said, you believe it? Shout amen. Glory. Glory.
Ah, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Ah, let's stand and worship our God. Let's stand and magnify his name. God bless your name. Oh, Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, help our young folks. God, help our young folks to be courageous. Help our young folks, God, to be bold. Hallelujah. Help them, God. Help them, God. Help them, oh God. Help them to receive the will of God for their life. Not my will, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, church, meet me at this altar right now.